Clatsop Community College has turned a corner. Maybe it started with the MERTS campus, that's the Marine Environmental Research Training Station at North Tongue Point. Maybe it started with the opening of the brand new Columbia Hall. But now Clatsop College is gaining a new president, and we will assuredly turn a corner. He's Larry Galizio, and he'll take office on July 1. My guests today are two members of the Clatsop College Board of Directors. Dirk Roan is the board chair, and Rosemary Baker Monahan is board vice chair. Welcome to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We'll spend the first part of our show talking about the college, and in the second half, we'll talk with Dirk Roan about the Clatsop County Commission. Well, Dirk and Rose, the college board was blessed with a good list of applicants. At the end, it seemed that you had a classic choice between a candidate who is skilled at the internal workings of a college, that was Sarah Burns, and another candidate who is experienced at doing the college's external relations of raising money, Larry Galizio. Is that a fair description of the choice that was before the college board? Dirk?
It's the terminology that you used. We used those in our own meetings. What's interesting, when we approached our two finalists with those same concepts, they were both offended. basically for magnifying their own, we were magnifying minutiae under a microscope, trying to make a good decision. And Sarah Burns had extensive experience accomplishing great things in the political arenas in Washington State. And on the flip side, we have Larry Galizio, who was faculty for 16 years at Portland Community College. So both of them have extensive experience in what we would consider their minors instead of their majors. But their majors, like you said, Larry Galizio has extensive experience in the political system, being a legislator and also in his current role. So that was certainly a factor. Also, his familiarity with the state of Oregon, the ability to convince other college presidents that we should have some more resources to carry on the work that we do here, providing education in rural Oregon.
Rosemary, how do you see it?
Well, I agree with what Dirk has said, but kind of give you a little sense behind the scenes of our thinking and the decision-making process. There's the perception that Larry is really strong in fundraising and working with the legislature.
External relations.
So part of our thinking was, these are very minor things they need to learn, things they need to grow. And so part of the discussion was, what can we wait for? You know, what do we need someone to just jump on board right away and be able to do? And what do we either have the administration in place at the college who already are doing a fabulous job at some levels? And what can we wait for someone to learn how to do a little bit or add to what they already know how to do? So from that context, we have such a strong administrative team with Roger and Lindy and Stephen, that for me, it kind of tipped the balance when you compare that to the budget shortfalls we're looking at, and especially next year is going to be a tougher year than this year. When you put those two things together, it tipped the scale for me for Larry.
Well, let's turn to that, which you've given us a glimpse of, Rosemary. Overall, what is the challenge that faces Clatsop Community College in 2010?
Well, just recently we've had notice that there was a negative May revenue forecast. State revenue, right. And so that to us translates into a $213,000 shortfall.
For Clatsop Community College.
For Clatsop Community College. There's a little discussion on the state level whether to run that shortfall through the funding formula. If they do, then it's $213,000 shortfall. If they don't, then it's a $294,000 shortfall. I think that they're going to run it through the funding formula, supposedly to balance out what the hit is for smaller schools versus bigger urban areas.
So how does the college make up the difference?
Well, there's a lot of discussions going on right now. We don't, the last thing we want to do is dip into our programs. And the discussion, it's still a dynamic discussion. We're thinking that we'll take about half of that shortfall from our reserves. There's conversations going on with employee groups about concessions in their contracts. And then some discussion about how much of the COLA increases that are built into their contracts we can or can't do. Those
COLA is cost of living.
Correct.
Allowance.
That we can afford to do. And then there's defer some replacement hirings and, you know, just tweaking every little savings that we can find across the board.
Yeah, I think in the past we've people at the college have been asked to do more with less.
Absolutely.
We've fully exhausted that. Now in the future, the next president will have to do less with less. It will be painful. Everything so far under Lindy Overton's leadership has been handled as well as it possibly can. There's a very strong sense of team at the college among all interested parties, and they have said as much, which has been very encouraging. The challenge moving forward is that our challenges will probably be painful, and hard decisions will have to be made, unjustifiable decisions to make certain cuts will have to be made just because there's no resource to support those.
Right. Let's turn to the student body. As four-year universities become more expensive, community colleges are widely seen as the most affordable post-high school educational option for many young people. Dirk, tell us who's going to Clatsop College today. What's the profile of the student?
Well, you're right. In an economic downturn, community colleges are seen as the first responders to an economic crisis, and in many cases, that's true. The great hope was that we would receive federal funding. I believe the funding was lost in congressional politics, unfortunately, but perhaps in the future we'll see more resources. Our students are more and more so high schools. In the area, our students are seriously considering Clatsop, and part of that may have to do with Columbia Hall. It gives the perception the work and the teachers have always gone on, and they're all fantastic. The whole new environment, the bond passing is a vote of confidence at large from the community. The building is a physical manifestation of community support in Columbia Hall, and so students more so in the past are seriously considering Clatsop as their first option, and then it's become more of a real serious learning environment, which is very encouraging. People want to go here now. I'm hoping we'll be able to recruit students from outside of the area with specialized programs in historic preservation and our maritime program and fire sciences. Those are all very exciting programs to me. But Rosemary?
Yeah, we capture a higher than the state average percentage of the graduating seniors in Clatsop County from all of the different high schools. And they stay, a higher percentage of them than the state average stay after the first year. You know, there's a level of dropout rate after the first year. We are capturing more of them.
That's the word.
Yeah, we're capturing more of them as they leave high school into Clatsop Community College, and we're retaining them longer. And a lot of, because of our dual enrollment programs, which were initiated over the last couple of years in some of the disciplines, they're able to come in, if they're degree-seeking students, they're able to come in and enroll at the same time at Clatsop and, for example, at Portland State, so that when they finish their 2 years at Clatsop, they're already enrolled at Portland
State.
They just seamlessly move over.
Yeah. This is after a deadline. I'm your host, Steve Forrester. I'm speaking with Dirk Roan and Rosemary Baker Monahan, who both serve on the Clatsop Community College Board. Unlike our public four-year university system, Clatsop College Boards are elected. Rosemary, you've been mayor of Seaside. Dirk, you're an all-county commissioner now, and you're a dairy farmer. I presume that puts both of you fairly close to the ground, where you have close acquaintance with the needs that Clatsop College fulfills. Dirk?
Yes, I believe it does, growing up in the Brownsmead in the Napa area, going to high school, being a part of the local volunteer fire department. I've seen several of my friends go on and take advantage of Clatsop Community College, like in the nursing program, is a fantastic way for someone. So my own people that I went to high school with, that's certainly a factor. Again, growing up in the area, being a member of 4-H, getting to know the Fisher family in Olney, and Don Fisher taught automotive and industrial arts classes, and so for me that connection creates a positive source of information where I can go and learn more about the college and the decisions that are being made and the programs that are being offered, and becoming familiar with you mentioned the Mertz campus and also our new Columbia Hall campus, and one common factor in both of those is Al Jakes. He's the owner's representative working with contractors to make sure that we get we squeeze every dime out of everything, that the work is professional, done on time, and he's kind of the understated hero of Clatsop Community College, I believe. And so kind of having that connectivity through Don Fisher and classmates and fire sciences and marine.
The next physical development at Clatsop College is completion of the renovation of Toller Hall. When are we going to see that, Rosemary?
It's scheduled, I believe, for dedication in September. I think we're still on time with that. I know there were a couple of issues, so mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure about that. But it will be this fall.
Now, Toller Hall was the original high school building.
Correct.
Dates to, what, 1910, something like that?
Yeah, we moved in the
1950. Pre-World War I building.
Yeah,
so a very substantial building. Have you two been inside it during the renovation?
Not during. We have a tour scheduled tomorrow for board members.
Okay.
Yeah.
Understood.
So that'll be exciting.
Well, buildings like that can be very stunning when they're brought back.
Well, and the beauty of that building was when it was built, they knew how to build. You know, they didn't have a lot of air conditioning available to them
no.
in 1910. So they built buildings that worked with the weather and the local environment. And then as it was modified over the years, some of those features that were built into the original building were modified, and ceilings were dropped and windows covered up. And so one of the biggest thing is to take it back to how it functioned when it was first built.
Right.
It's kind of a retro green
approach.
Natural lighting and natural ventilation
right.
are the two
yeah.
big ones that yeah. it's amazing to think that this building has both of those features, and we talk about it as its cutting edge
yeah.
architecture,
yeah.
and there it is, 1910.
Well, the same thing happened, I think, when the Astoria School District restored Gray School. Over time, a whole wall of windows had been covered up.
Right.
And so they were simply revealed, and a certain wisdom came back into play.
Right.
Many public institutions across America, from police to teaching, are about to go through a major generational shift. As one generation retires, does Clatsop College face this transition?
I think we do, and a lot of the conversations we've been having in kind of a retreat setting at the board, and part of our discussion with our interviews with the new college is what does that vision look like? What jobs do we need to be preparing people for, and how do we connect with the community? What, for example, in our nursing program or our medical technology program, what do we need to focus on, and how do we identify that, and how do we plan for it? Because a lot of those programs are expensive to provide. Dirk?
Yeah, I would agree with the generational shift. When I went to high school, all the teachers were my parents' age, and when I finished at Oregon State, some of the teachers were people who were my classmates, and then again at the college where all the teachers were probably, again, my parents' age, and now some of the faculty and staff are my age. And so we are seeing that. It is exciting, and both to have both there, honestly.
Okay. This is After Deadline, and I've been speaking with Rosemary Baker Monahan and Dirk Roan of the Clatsop College Board. We'll take a break now and come back and talk about Clatsop County government. For the rest of our After Deadline, we're going to talk with Dirk Roan, who's a member of the Clatsop County Commission. In the May election, three county commissioners were defeated, Dirk, so we'll have quite a transition in January. It is safe to say that you've been a lonely voice on some county matters, such as Bradwood LNG. The commission for the last few years has been dominated by the LNG issue, the proposed terminal at Bradwood. With Bradwood's sponsor, Northern Star, suspending its application, is LNG off the table for the commission?
I am not sure to what degree Bradwood Landing has gone forward, to my knowledge, with their appeal of the LUBA demand to the LUBA remand issues.
LUBA is the Land Use Board of Appeals.
So basically the Land Use Board of Appeals faulted the Bradwood project on its size and I believe the definition of protect in terms of salmon habitat. That the next step is the Oregon State Court of Appeals. That process is going forward. Those court arguments, I believe, were made last week. So in 1 to 6 weeks, there will be another milestone event one way or the other.
What's before the Court of Appeals? What's
the question? The Court of Appeals, to my knowledge, they will be discussing the size of the project. Is the project small to moderate, or is it large? And then the second aspect.
But, Dirk, is this the Land Use Board of Appeals? Or
no, this is the Oregon State Court of Appeals, which is whatever is left of the company of Bradwood Landing, is taking the next legal step. They are appealing LUBA's decisions. To the Court of Appeals.
Okay.
So that's still underway, and so that's Bradwood, and then on the other side you have Oregon LNG.
Which is the proposal to put an LNG terminal on the Skipanon River.
Yeah, which the county has less to do with as far as the actual siting. I believe the city of Warrenton that's their jurisdictional area, but we have obviously something to do with the pipeline, and so that process is just beginning, and some lessons are being learned and applied in terms of requiring Oregon LNG to front $50,000. So hopefully we will avoid
what happened,
$180,000 bill that may or may not be paid.
Yeah, it was quite a sweep in the May election, and there's a lot of speculation around the county as to what the commission is going to be like in January. What's your surmise, Dirk? How will the collective consciousness of the commission change in January?
It'll be interesting to see. Just to talk about the election briefly, it was a mandate for change. The margins were large. They weren't 20 votes. They were, I think the least was 200 votes. So it wasn't close. So that's an interesting point. Some of the candidates who ran successful campaigns said, I was supported by Democrats, Independents, and Republicans. So that being said, I would hope that the direction of our county commission will be a moderate but progressive one. So I hope we don't move from one extreme to the other, as it were. That's what I'm hoping we'll move forward in a responsible manner and learn the lessons. And honestly, to me, the best examples, being involved with the Clatsop Community College Board, has been a terrific example of how a political body should behave and work together with each other and with the professional staff. And I'm not as knowledgeable about Astoria, but it seems to me that the political and professional team work is intact. Not everyone likes the outcome on every decision, but by and large, those are the two good examples.
That the Astoria City Council
The city government and the Clatsop Community College are both great examples for the county to emulate.
Okay. Picking up on what you just were alluding to, Dirk, is a period of time for the last 4 years where some commissioners were really meddling in department operations. And one of the things that caused was an exodus from the county planning staff, which was a very highly regarded planning staff. The county needs to rebuild that planning department. Is there any news on that front?
I can't say for sure. I would agree that if you looked at the staff that was there 6 months before the first LNG hearing and compared to the first for the Planning Commission at Astoria High School on a very hot June day, and if you compare it with what it is today, it's a very different reality. I would say there has been an exodus. I would also say there are some really great people in the staff, and those people need to be allowed to work independently and be supported.
Okay. Another part of county government that is in the midst of reorganization is the health department. And how is that reorganization going?
I think the reorganization has gone extremely well. Margo Lalich is in charge of the health department, and she's an incredible person. And by and large, what happens over time, programs are added or modified, their missions change. And so occasionally you need a housekeeping. So what this did was align separate entities that were working on the same mission to be combined. So you have entirely different funding sources, but you have two X and Y working on the same mission. So combining those and putting it and supporting it has made it more efficient, and I believe Margot is a tremendous individual. We're very fortunate to have her.
Closely, I won't say allied, but certainly topically aligned with that is the rejuggling of mental health providers in the county, and I don't know how many times this is has happened, but it, the county's in the midst of doing it once more. And I'm wondering about your perceptions of where what that's going to leave us with.
Yeah, it seems like we have providers, and then the providers. My impression is for the providers for external reasons that we're not involved with, or funding changes have created made the opportunity not so inviting to them, and so the county has been left to figure out how to fill in the gaps of funding.
Certainly. Let's turn now to sort of what I would call the elephant in the room, that which is the jail, the county jail. Everyone, it seems to me, who sees it, who takes the tour, comes away with their mouth hanging open and a realization that it's horribly inadequate, and yet for a good two decades, there's been no progress at building the kind of political consensus that's necessary in the public to move it forward. And what we have now is recently a meeting of, I guess it's called the Justice Something Council. The judges sit on it, the sheriff, the district attorney, county commission. There seems to be some new alignment in that group. Is that a correct perception?
Yeah, we had a very large meeting, and like you said, the sheriff was there, the sheriff deputy, the judges, the district attorney, the commission, and a lot of different players. There is a very strong consensus that we absolutely need a new jail. Our great hope is, can we learn from there's been a lot of studies, there's been a lot of research.
Mm-hmm.
Can we move forward in 2013 or so and perhaps sell the public on the idea that we need this? And in order for our communities to be safe, we need to have the infrastructure to deal with those people who need to be dealt with.
When I've spoken to Dwayne Cole, who's the county manager, about the jail, he makes the point that, we could pass a bond measure or whatever to build it, but operating a new, larger jail would be a separate financial challenge. What's your perception of that? How does that get worked out?
I would say that his expertise would be greater than mine in that area, and I'm aware that operating costs are a challenge. The hope would be that the new facility would be much more efficient, both in its layout and size, requiring fewer people to do the same work, energy savings in terms of what it costs to heat and cool and maintain the building. But that certainly is a challenge, as the county manager said.
The political challenge to building a majority in favor of a jail is that the jail has no constituency. Nobody wants to be inside it as a guest, shall we say. I suppose there's a constituency among the relatives and family of the jail, but by and large, it's without an ally, shall we say. How do you get past that challenge in moving the public on this? You're closer to the public than most of us because you are a county commissioner and range around East County.
I think public safety is, those are the two words that say it all. This is a critical issue regarding public safety, and in order for the sheriff and the law enforcement and the district attorney and everyone else to do their jobs to keep us all safe, this is something that would affect us all. If, how bad do things need to get before everyone recognizes that? I'd like to think that we can avoid catastrophes, but perhaps we are inviting a catastrophe through negligence. Public safety is in everyone's interest, and I hope everyone could be convinced to appreciate that and support that via the funding of a new jail.
I want to turn the discussion now to just public service in general. We rely on a lot of public service in this county with a bevy of boards for cities, the county itself, the community college, the port, and diking districts and all sorts of things. And both of you, Dirk Rohn and Rosemary Baker Monahan, have done a lot of public service. Dirk, you're now president of the college board or chairman of the college board. You're on the county commission. And what else are you doing these days?
I've been involved with the local Dyking districts in Brownsmead. That's something that I feel I know a lot about. But the college board, I was the vice chair and became the chair. So I've been working very closely with Rosemary and the board as a whole to work together through the process of hiring a new president. And so I haven't been leading from on high, but I have been running the meetings.
How much of your life is in public service at this point? You're a dairy farmer, so you spend a lot of time on the farm.
Typically, the underlying theory was there were supposed to be two county meetings a month and one college meeting a month. In theory, that theory went through the window during the process of hiring a new president and budgetary issues, but it has been a challenge, but it's also been very rewarding. But I can't say that it hasn't been a challenge.
Certainly. Well, reward is important. That's what staves off burnout. Rosemary Baker Monahan, you've been mayor of Seaside, mm-hmm. and you've been on the college board for a number of years now.
I'm in my 11th year. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've seen quite a transition at the college.
Absolutely. Through the four bond measures and now the new president. And
so your day job is you're executive director of the Liberty Theater.
Correct.
And the college is another aspect of your job. How much of your life goes into the college?
Quite a bit over the last probably 6 years. As we worked our way through the bond measures for four of those years, I was board chair. It's one of those jobs that we take turns doing. But for consistency through all those bond measures, I stayed as board chair for 4 years. I'm also on the Lewis and Clark National Park Board. I'm on the Cedar Class of Economic Development Resource Board. And I'm on the Lower Columbia Tourism Council. So quite a bit of community service. And when you're, elected into office like mayor and city council in Seaside, there are a number of boards that you serve on just to keep those lines of communication open. So the county is depends on it.
Absolutely.
And
well, speaking of a point you were making earlier, Dirk, about the Astoria City Council, the College Board seems to have coalesced in the last 4 years or so. I don't know if I'm imagining that or not.
I always like to say that whoever makes the most rational argument pretty much carries the day on the College Board.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is in a striking contrast to other things that I won't mention.
Yeah, but we know what you're talking about.
We have some good, healthy discussions and respect each other, and it's a nice board to be on. And graduation is tonight.
Well, it was last night because this show will air.
Okay.
You are not supposed to say that.
I'm sorry.
It was last week.
And it was wonderful.
I'm sure it was. And as we're having this interview, you're preparing for the Astoria Music Festival, which is
last week.
Yeah, but it will still be going on, actually. But that's a huge undertaking.
Absolutely.
On your part.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's an amazing festival this year as well.
Good, good. So. This has been After Deadline. I'm Steve Forrester, and my guests have been Dirk Roan, who's on the County Commission on the College Board, and Rosemary Baker Monahan, who's Vice Chair of the Clatsop Community College Board.